And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. I am Rob West. It's a great time to show your appreciation for the shepherds the Lord has given you, who feed you with knowledge and understanding. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we'll talk with Brian Kluth about that today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, Brian Kluth is a best-selling author of several books on generosity. He was a pastor himself for 10 years and is now the spokesman for the annual Bless Your Pastor initiative, organized by the National Association of Evangelicals. Brian, it's great to have you back with us.
Hey, Rob, great to be with you and your listeners. And we really want to encourage them today and give them some wonderful ways they can be part of blessing their pastors and their church staff. So this is a bless all of them. We'll give them some free resources and great ideas, but so glad they're listening right now.
Well, thank you. Let's dive into that. I know you have an easy three-step program for folks who want to get involved. So tell us about it.
Yeah, people just go to blessyourpastor.org, and there's three steps. And what you do is you download the materials, free materials for your church, share it with some of your church leaders. But there's a flyer I wrote, 50 ways to bless your pastor or bless your pastors and church staff. So that gets distributed to all the families. Then you take up an appreciation offering, and then you honor them publicly. And when your church does those three things, then we will give your pastor a marriage retreat scholarship to a weekend to remember. And it's an application to do that, and they just go online and get that. We also give them access to other free and discounted weekend retreat and vacation opportunities. So it's a wonderful way to bless your pastor and staff. And over 3,000 churches have already done it. And so we're looking forward to how many more are going to join us this year.
Brian, I love the resource you mentioned, 50 creative ways to bless your pastor. Give us some examples from that.
Yeah, we really help people unpack the importance of how to pray for your pastor. There's different ways to pray for your pastor, how to affirm your pastor, how to encourage them, and then practical ways to help them. I like to say, if you're a doctor, give them some doctor care. If you're a dentist, give them some dental care. If you're a mechanic, fix their car. If you like to, cut grass or plant flowers, go over to their house and do it for them. But just very creative and practical ways that any Christian can look at doing, because the Bible calls us in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 that we are to show, not just say, we are to show our deep appreciation for those who minister among us. So this 50 ways gives people ideas on what they can do to show their deep appreciation for their pastor and staff.
Yeah, you can go download that right now at blessyourpastor.org. All right, step two was collect. How does that work?
Yeah, we ask the leaders to just send out a note to the congregation, say we're going to take up an appreciation offering and we're going to gift it to the pastor or the pastor and the staff. And I know when I became a pastor, I took a $70,000 pay cut to become a pastor. So that was a major challenge in my life. But my church, every year, they took up an appreciation offering, and it happened towards the end of the year, and they would give that to me and the staff. And boy, you know what? That allowed us to have Christmas. That offering is what allowed us to travel at Christmas, to see family, or to pay for Christmas presents. So just to get that, and then we just felt the love of people. That appreciation offering really helped us because we weren't making a lot of money, but that really made a difference in our life.
Yeah, we're about out of time. I know the third step is celebrate. Give us one example of what that looks like.
Yeah, well, it's simple as praying for them up on the platform, or sometimes there's an appreciation meal or something, but it's any church can do it very creatively, however they want. Sometimes they do appreciation notes, but you just want to honor them publicly.
I love it. Well, Brian, I know you and your team have put together a ton of materials to help folks bless their pastors and church staff this month. Where can they download those materials and get more information?
Yeah, everything is at blessyourpastor.org. Blessyourpastor.org. It's in English and in Spanish.
Oh, that's incredible. Brian, so thankful for your work, and we appreciate you stopping by today to tell us about this exciting initiative. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right. That's Brian Kluth. He's national spokesman for the annual Bless Your Pastor initiative organized by the National Association of Evangelicals. Again, just head to blessyourpastor.org. Your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The book of Deuteronomy is very intent on telling us what to do with our ears. Listen to the Lord's voice. Hear the voice of Moses. Wait for and then listen to the voice of his prophet. Who we listen to shapes us. That's why chapter 5 tells us, hear, so that it may go well with you. For us, it's not a promise of land of milk and honey, like it was for Israel. It's a promise of eternal life in the new earth with Jesus. When Christ was baptized, the Father told us, listen to him, hear his voice, follow him, and by faith receive his salvation. This is how it is. Christians entering everlasting life. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit and all sorts of problems, chained to greed and selfishness? Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Well, I'm delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. All right, it's time to turn the corner. We're ready for your questions on anything financial. That's right, whether it's your spending plan, your debt repayment, maybe it's your short or long-term savings or investments. Maybe you're wondering how to effectively transfer your wealth at death to the next steward. And are they chosen and prepared, which is another key part of this, or maybe it's just giving wisely. We'd love to tackle any and all of it with you today and help you process those decisions through a biblical lens. Our phone lines are open at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now and our team is standing by. Let's dive right into a first-time caller, Nancy in Arkansas. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob, thank you for taking my call. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I, some time ago, looked up Kingdom Advisors, and I can't remember exactly. I took it right off of your off of your talk show.
Yes.
And I looked up three guys that live here in Little Rock that are Kingdom Advisors that's gone through the program anyway.
Yes, ma'am.
So I found out from my advisor that I have a huge amount of BlackRock and Vanguard. And I talked to him about it. And I just wasn't happy with the outcome.
Yeah.
So saying that, how do I find them again, the Little Rock guys? Do I just type in Kingdom Advisors?
Yes, ma'am. Well, here's a better way to do that. If you'll go to the website for the show, faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com. Right there at the top of the page, Nancy, it will say find a CKA. And Certified Kingdom Advisor is the designation, the only industry accepted and widely recognized designation for those professionals who've met the high standards of character and competence and can bring a biblical perspective of financial advice. And many of them offer faith-based investments. And I think that's what you're getting to. You know, you want the ability to align your values with your, not only the advice you're receiving, but also with the investments that you hold in your portfolio. So when you're interviewing these advisors, and I'd probably talk to all three, what you want to know is, you know, are you able to bring faith-aligned investments to my portfolio, meaning avoiding companies that violate your values by screening them out, embracing companies that seek to identify and express your values and the types of products and services they offer. And then even thirdly, engagement, where they're able to or have a process by which you can engage the companies you own to advocate for change based on your values through proxy voting and shareholder proposals. So faithfi.com, and then click find a CKA, and you can just do a zip code search there.
So you're saying it's a Faith Find, but you, I thought you said FI.
Yeah, FaithFi. FI. Yep, faithfi.com.
Okay.
FaithFi.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Rob. You don't have time for another question.
Oh, no, I sure do. You go right ahead.
Okay, digital currency. When do you think that's going to become a problem for us?
Yeah. You know, I still think it's a long way off. I share your concern about moving to a digital currency if that were to come about. But it's not going to happen anytime soon. I would speculate we're probably years away if we see it at all. Only Congress has the authority to create currency, and its members have a difficult time agreeing on anything. Federal Reserve, you know, Chairman Jerome Powell has weighed in on the issue and has said there are serious privacy and security concerns that will need to be solved before anything like a digital currency could be launched. And even if it does happen, you know, there's nothing currently being talked about where traditional currency, the paper currency, would go away. It would be in addition to. Now, why am I concerned about it if it were to come about? And I think it would just result in a tremendous loss of privacy. You know, Bitcoin and the cryptos are completely private, unless you don't want them to be. But with a central bank digital currency, that would not be a feature. They would know who has it. They could impose rules. They could even conceivably limit transactions. And so it would be really destructive, in my view, to privacy and personal liberty, because even if, let's say, the government policy around CBDCs was to protect the information and keep it private and not to use it as a social control mechanism, someone in the bowels of bureaucracy could leak the information and it could be used against you. And so, you know, I can't imagine Congress getting on board with this anytime soon. And the courts have been really good about knocking down executive orders that go outside of the authority of the executive branch. So I don't think we need to panic about this by any means. I do think it's a long way off, but we need to speak up, and this is where we need to show up and vote for those who understand the importance of protecting our religious and civil liberties in terms of a whole host of things, but including this area of a digital currency. So I think the short answer to your question is it's still a long way down the road, because it's going to take you know, Congress getting on board before anything can happen.
Thanks, Rob. It was a great first call.
All right. I appreciate it, Nancy. We're delighted to have you on the program today. Thanks for calling. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000 with any financial question today. And just like every program here at American Family Radio, we want to look at this issue through the lens of Scripture, a biblical worldview, and help you make decisions that align with your values, but you know, are very practical at the same time. So again, 800-525-7000, you can call right now. By the way, in the news today, analysts are convinced, and Bob Dahl confirmed this as well yesterday, that the Federal Reserve Board won't raise interest rates when it concludes its latest meeting at 2 p.m. today. However, it's expected the Fed will send a strong message that future rate hikes are not off the table. In fact, the consensus is that we're going higher before we go lower, even if we stay flat today. Now, softening employment numbers are likely one of the reasons the central bank will hold off for now, even though inflation remains well above its target level of 2%. We're still, you know, 4% plus. So even though we're down from the height of the inflation at 9, you know, we're still, you know, double what the Fed's target is. The Fed, by the way, meets every 6 weeks, basically. They meet 8 times a year. So the next meeting is on the last day of October. But certainly we'll be watching today, again, expecting rates to stay flat. But we also will look at those all-important comments that surround it to get an idea of what the Fed's thinking. Keep in mind, though, you know, just a flat movement is still negative for the economy, because here's the reality. The longer these high interest rates go on, the more people are going to be impacted by them. You know, think about it. You may not have, since we got up to 7.5% interest rates on home mortgages, had to go out and buy a house. But the longer we have them, the more people will, because we just, we move periodically, we change jobs, we life changes. You may not have had to buy a car with these high interest rates, but the longer it goes on, more and more people will. So the longer we have these elevated rates, even a flat movement by the Fed is going to impact more and more folks. So we just have to understand that the economy will continue to weaken. That's unfortunately the Fed's goal. And even though, you know, as Jerry Boyer and I talk about often, that's not really the design for economics and wealth creation, to slow the economy. We should be able to grow our way out of it. That's the Fed's approach. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's working in some degree, but in other respects, not really. Hey, back with your questions just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Most Christians only know the Bible at a surface level. We believe it, but do we really know it? I want to invite you to join the Wesley Institute presented by Wesley Biblical Seminary. The Institute's a 9-month program that will give you an in-depth understanding of all 66 books of the Bible taught by seminary professors. You can join live from anywhere in the world or watch the class videos on your own schedule. To learn more, visit wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Well, I trust you're having a great day today. I'm delighted you're joining us here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions on anything financial today at 800-525-7000. In just a moment, we'll head back to the phones. But first, you know, when it comes to wealth transfer, that last stewardship decision we'll make, remember, we have to answer three questions as believers. Who owns it? Of course, God owns it. How much is enough? And then thirdly, is the next steward not only chosen, but prepared? Well, one of those key decisions is around selecting that next steward. We only have three choices, the government, heirs, or charity or ministry. And we want to understand, is that steward prepared? I shared earlier in the week that we can ask these questions to determine or help us determine if they're prepared. If we give X amount to X person, what's the worst thing that can happen? That's the question number one. Number two, how serious is that? And number three, how likely is that to occur? I think those can be really helpful in making that decision. But there's three principles that Ron Blue lays out around this decision of selecting this next steward and transferring our wealth to the next steward in his book, Splitting Heirs. Let me just mention these quickly. I think they're really helpful. The first is, of course, the treasure principle that comes out of Matthew 6. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Here's what Ron says in Splitting Heirs. He says, quote, "We sometimes miss the fact that Jesus is all for treasures. He simply wants us to store them in the right place. Heaven, that's a wise investment. Can you grasp this powerful concept? What I do on earth can accumulate treasures in heaven that will last forever," end quote. That's Ron Blue in Splitting Heirs. So that's the treasure principle. The second that he talks about is the unity principle. And the idea here is your spouse completes you. They don't compete with you. So your decision around wealth transfer should include both of you coming together in conversation, in prayer, and working toward a plan that reflects your values and priorities together as one flesh. And then thirdly, the wisdom principle. And this is so key when it comes to selecting that next steward. If you're going to pass wealth, be sure to pass wisdom first. Wealth rarely creates wisdom. Let me say that again. If you're going to pass wealth, be sure to pass wisdom first, because wealth rarely creates wisdom. So we need to be thinking about whether or not this person is in fact prepared, and we need to be really focused on transferring a spiritual inheritance prior to that financial inheritance, so that the money doesn't take that heir away from God and really accelerate their lifestyle that's counter to biblical values and a relationship with Jesus. I hope that's helpful to you. By the way, this is, I think, the very best book on this topic, Splitting Heirs. If you haven't read it and you're considering some of these decisions, I'd pick up a copy today. All right, let's head back to the phones. I've got some lines open for your questions today at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Alabama. Alicia, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Basically, I just wanted to ask, I just came through about with cancer, and thank God I'm totally healed of that. Went through all the treatments and all of that. And believe in God, not for remission, but for totally never happen again.
Wow.
But basically,
yes.
What it is that it's a lot of medical bills that have come in that my insurance didn't cover. And it's so much that I don't even know where to begin to find out maybe a cumulative account information to find out how much I owe. Some of it has went to collections, some of it hasn't.
Yeah.
And my husband was just talking about, calling one of them, and that we did get the info saying that they're going to turn it into debt collection agency, but basically just trying to make a payment, you know, every month. And basically we don't have anything on reserve to pay them off totally. So what do you suggest that we do in order to knock out some of this medical debt? And,
yes.
And basically I'm going to just get off the phone and listen on the radio to hear your answer. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, you're welcome, Leisha. Would you mind if I pray for you first?
Oh, please. Thank
you. All right. Father, we just lift Leisha up to you. Thank you for this testimony she shared today of just your faithfulness and helping her to navigate this medical issue. Lord, you are her creator. You know every cell in her body, the great physician. We just ask that you bring healing and that there would not just be remission, but that she would be cancer-free. And we just leave her in your hands, trusting you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. We also ask that you'd give her and her husband wisdom to navigate this financially as well, and that your provision would be evident, and that we would give you the glory for how you provide in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Leisha, let me tell you, first of all, you can do this. You're going to get through it. The good news is medical providers are really accustomed to working with you. I think the key is don't run from them, run to them. And I think the quicker you can open up conversation, number one, with them and let them know that, listen, we're limited. We have a limited income. Our desire is not to, you know, ignore this or in some way, you know, to not allow not to pay it, but we just have limited means. And so you need to set up a payment plan. So I think contacting them is first. Second is really to get an accurate listing of everything you actually owe. So who do you owe the amounts to and what are the balances? Now, once you know that, then you can start kind of moving through them one at a time. It's going to be really key that you establish your budget, your spending plan, so you have a good working knowledge of, you know, what do you have coming in on a monthly basis and what are your actual expenses, not just the things you get a bill for, but your discretionary expenses as well. And let's look for a chance to dial that back as much as possible. But that's going to tell you, hopefully, after you have an emergency fund, and I'd start by building up $1,500 in your emergency fund first, because that's going to be really key to you being able to, you know, have some margin to fall back on when the unexpected comes. But beyond that, let's figure out how much you have available to start committing toward a monthly payment. And they're going to ask, how much can you pay every month? So you're going to want to get that accurate listing of everything you owe. You're going to want to contact them, see if they will offer financial assistance and may even reduce those bills since you're a cash payer, and then just get on a monthly payment plan. But it starts by getting that accurate accounting and then calling them and telling you want to work with them. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
You dreamed of living happily ever after, but now you're frustrated and bored. What happened? On the next Focus on the Family, Gary Thomas shares how you can intentionally pursue oneness with your spouse and have the marriage you've always wanted. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At FaithFi, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Check out all of the benefits of a FaithFi Patrons membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. You know, when it comes to medical bills, we were talking about this just before the break. You know, there have been some changes as of late with regard to how medical bills impact your credit score. Even after the bill goes to collections, the account won't show up on your credit report right away or possibly ever. The three main consumer credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, give you a 365-day waiting period to solve any medical debt before the collection account appears in your credit history. This is unlike other types of debt. So medical bills won't impact your score right away if they are unpaid or ever if you pay them within a year. And if the initial reported collection account balance is under $500, the account won't appear on your credit report and will not affect your credit score. Now, when you get this cleared up, they will also remove it. So it will come off of your credit report. Again, that's different than other types of credit, so that, you know, you have the ability to get those taken off where it could, you know, cause your credit report to recover quickly. So there is a lot of flexibility there. I think the key, as I was sharing with Leisha, is you just make sure you're running to them, not away from them. Let's be in conversation. Let's let them know you have a desire to pay. Let's get on a payment plan with something. I mean, as long as they know you're working toward, often they will work with you. And again, if you're a cash payer, they will often cut that bill down, often substantially. I also would love for you to check out an alternative to health insurance so that, you know, you are able to, you know, cover the cost of health care with a faith-based solution that fits your budget. And that's with our friends at Christian Healthcare Ministries. You can learn more at chministries.org. This is a faith-based alternative to health insurance where you can enroll anytime. There's no network restrictions. It's a values-based solution. And they're actually, CHM is the longest-serving biblical solution to satisfying your medical costs. They were founded back in 1981, so they're over 40 years old. And they've shared nearly $10 billion with a B. So this is a massive organization. And for so many of you that are struggling to just keep something in place to cover the cost of healthcare, chministries.org could be a great resource for you. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got some lines open today, 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, and you can call right now. All right, to Texas we go. Hi, Christy. Go right ahead.
Hi. My question is about a 401k that I have just sitting there with a previous employer. I had left employment about a year ago, but I left my 401k there with their group, and I just don't know what to do with it. I don't understand.
Sure.
All of
well,
that.
I'd be happy to help with that. How much do you have in there roughly? Do you know?
It's 120,000.
Okay. Yeah, great. So you put away a bit of a nest egg there. Did you move to a new employer, Christy, that also has a 401k?
No, I did not. I went to part-time employment, and there are no benefits.
Yeah. So I like exercising the option. I mean, here are your options. Number one, you can leave it there. Number two is if you ever did go to another employer with a 401k, you could roll it into that potentially. Most employers allow that, not all. But the third option, which is the one I'm going to recommend for you, is that you actually roll it to an IRA, an individual retirement account. Now, that is not a taxable event as long as you do the rollover. So you've got a pre-tax 401k, so that money went in without paying tax on it through salary deferral, and you're going to roll it to a pre-tax IRA. So it's apples to apples, and therefore, you know, you're not going to create a taxable event. The benefit of the IRA is you have complete control over how it's managed, what investments are selected, and what, you know, what fees you pay and to whom based on how you want to manage it. Now, for someone who doesn't have the time and the expertise to actually select the investments themselves or the desire, I would say, and this is where most people fall, you hire an investment advisor to come in and take over responsibility for this. Now, he or she wouldn't just automatically start making decisions. There would be an extensive discovery process with you, and if you're married, you and your husband, to talk about what are your goals and your values as a believer, and what is your time horizon, and how much risk do you want to take with this? And, you know, how are you doing in terms of your total, you know, retirement savings at this point versus what you'll need, you know, when you step away from paid work at some point down the road to whatever God has for you next? I mean, they'll work through all of these things with you and then deploy an investment strategy on an ongoing basis that reflects that. And if you want to use faith-based investments, you know, they can do that as well. And, you know, that would allow them to come in and offer investments that, you know, where they screen out companies that violate your values, where they seek to identify and own companies that actually express your values through the types of products and services they offer. If this is a conviction of yours, that can be done as well. So how does that sound? Does that sound like what you're looking for, or would you rather make the decision yourself?
Well, no, that sounds right. It's something that I have explored a little bit, but you know, I guess my concern was, you know, is that you know, I know banks offer those type thing, or is it an investor or a investing company that you, and I don't know how expensive that is, you know. I guess the risk of losing my money is scary to me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. So in addition to this $120,000, what do you have available or set aside for retirement? Anything else?
Well, a smaller amount, you know,
that's
basically,
So maybe 200 in total or less?
I would say probably less.
Okay. All right.
You know, probably
that's
less
fine.
Than that.
And what is your age, if you don't mind me asking?
62.
Okay. And how long do you plan to continue to work?
Probably 3 more years until I'm 65, probably.
Okay. All right. And have you looked at what your retirement budget will be? And is your plan to try to fund that from Social Security alone? Or are you thinking you're going to need some of this in order to meet your obligations at that point?
Probably some of this. I will have Social Security, and my husband has a couple of retirement plans from different employers. So, you know, we have planned some, but not a lot.
Yeah, very good. That's okay. So I think that's the key, is to determine what are we ultimately going to need. So if you were to put together that retirement budget today and begin to look at, okay, what are our bills going to look like when we get to this point 3 years from now? You know, most folks live, and this is just a ballpark, on 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income, because hopefully the house is paid off, the kids are off the payroll,
right.
We're not eating out at lunch, you know, those kinds of things. And so if you figure out what that number is, and then you look at what your Social Security will be, and by the way, the longer you can wait to take that, the closer you'll get to your full benefit, and even up to age 70, if you were to keep working, you could grow that by 8% a year. But hopefully that'll cover the majority of it, And then ideally, out of this 200,000, let's say it grows to that, you know, we'd pull an additional 8,000 a year and never see the principal decline. That's $650 a month. But it is going to need to be invested with some allocation to stocks, which means some risk, just so you can offset the effects of inflation, which will erode your purchasing power. Let's do this. You stay right there, and we'll finish up after the break.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at AFA.net. Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling. And he says,
we've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes.
Misspell words.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. I've got room for one or two more questions today between now and the end of the broadcast here in this segment, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Christy in Texas. She's got a Fidelity 401k. She's left the company. There's about $120,000 in there with the other retirement assets she and her husband have. Maybe they have $150,000. She's probably 3 years out from retirement and just wondering, what should I do with this? And what's it going to cost for me to pay somebody to manage this? And what about the risk of loss that I'm going to be taking? And what I was saying, Christy, is, you know, the step one is to really take a step back and say, what does God have for us in this next season of life, and pray through that so you know what you're retiring to, not what you're retiring from. Second is, what is it going to cost to fund the lifestyle that we believe God has called us to in retirement? And often that's 70 to 80% of your pre-retirement income. And then where is that going to come from? And if the majority of it is going to come from Social Security, well, can we work a little bit longer and delay that to build that payment so that we lock in, you know, that highest payment possible for the rest of our lives? But to the extent it's not going to cover all of it, and it was not only in it was intended to only cover about 40% of your pre-retirement income. So that's going to come from an retirement nest egg. And, you know, if you have 150 and let's say you invest that and it grows to 200 between now and, you know, your retirement, well, that would throw off about $650 a month at a 4% withdrawal rate. And that would be ideal, because if it's invested properly with like 30% in stocks and maybe 70% in bonds, you should be able to, you know, cover that 4% a year and see that portfolio remain level over time. Now, in any given quarter or year, it could be down or up, but the idea would be to maintain it and allow you to pull about $8,000 a year out. Question is that enough? to cover your lifestyle. And if not, then we have to back up and say, okay, maybe we have to work longer or we have to cut back or whatever that might be. Now, in terms of how to go about managing that, you brought up two questions. One is, what is it going to cost to have somebody manage it? Because I'm suggesting that's probably what you need to do. And it's probably going to cost you maybe 1% a year. So that's $1,500 on a $150,000 portfolio. And yes, that's a lot of money, but at the same time, it's a lot of money that you've accumulated, and you don't want to just put it on autopilot. You want somebody waking up who's taking responsibility for growing it and protecting it. The second thing you brought up was the risk that you're taking. And yes, there's risk, but keep in mind, when you reach age 65 in the United States, you know, your life expectancy is 86. Males can expect to live to 83. And so if the Lord tarries, we need this money to last for decades. And so, you know, your ability to overcome the effects of inflation, the loss of purchasing power with this money, I think is incumbent upon your ability to take some modest amount of risk so that you have some growth component in there, even though you're going to be far more conservative than you would have been in your 40s, let's say. So I know there's a lot to that, but how does that all sit with you?
Well, you have helped me to understand a little bit, and especially, you know, the cost of a consultant that I didn't know that without taking that step to contact one.
Sure.
So that was helpful. But I think you've been very helpful.
Okay. If you want, and I realize these are not easy decisions, and I don't pretend to make them that way, but I do think hopefully it's given you some things to think about. And my next step would be to contact two or three what we call certified Kingdom advisors. So there's 1,500 or so men and women across the U.S. and Canada that have earned the only industry designation for those who bring a biblical worldview of professional financial decision-making and investments. And there's probably some right there in your area in Texas. So I'd go to our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and then click Find a CKA. And you could do a zip code search, and I would say you and your husband would go sit down with two or three. And that's probably the next step, because if you hire somebody to manage this for you, you'd want to let them open the IRA for you, and then they'll help you get that money rolled over, because you'll want to use the custodian that they use. They might use Fidelity, or they might use Schwab, or they might use Merrill Lynch, or, you know, it could be any number of firms. But there's no reason for you to open that account if you think you might hire somebody to manage this for you. So I hope that helps you and gives you some things to think about, and we appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have room for maybe one more question today if you want to be on the program. Let's stay right here in Texas to another first-time caller, Gloria. You're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call, and God bless you for what you do.
Thank you.
My question is, so we have a significant amount remaining on our mortgage, and I'll be 58 soon. I just wondered, as far as when you're creating a trust, because that's going to be my next question, create a trust, because we have a son who has Down syndrome. He's special needs trust.
Sure.
And we have $500,000 worth of life insurance between my husband and myself. Thank God I got it before a breast cancer diagnosis. All of those we've left as a contingent beneficiary. We are each other's beneficiary, but contingent beneficiary is my sister-in-law to take over the care of our son. We currently have guardianship. My question is, our mortgage is still, like, if we're definitely not going to outlive, well, I should hope that we could pay it off if God provides, if our mortgage is not paid off by the time we leave to go be with the Lord, how does that work when you're building a trust?
Yes. Well, the estate would have to be settled before anything is distributed. What I think you would want to do is, under Texas law, a special needs trust, if you don't already have one, is the type of trust that allows for a person with a disability to have money put aside for their care. Additionally, the special needs trust still allows the individual with the disability to be eligible for all government benefits they're entitled to, despite the assets that are in the trust. And so what you would typically do is make the trust the beneficiary of the insurance benefit, if there is one. And then, you know, all of the obligations of the estate would be settled and paid, and including the house sold, if that's what's supposed to happen, and the mortgage paid. And then what's remaining in the trust would then be available based on the trust guidelines, and whoever, you know, is going to be the new guardian for your special needs child to be able to access those funds for his benefit. And so what I would do is, you know, find a godly estate planning attorney who has some experience in this area of special needs to put this trust in place and allow you to work through all of these issues to ensure that everything's set up properly. And whenever the Lord takes you all home, you know, that these funds are there, you know, for his benefit.
Okay. So that was my second question is, do you guys have a list of godly trust attorneys?
Yeah, I wish we did, but here's what I can recommend, Gloria. So I've mentioned a couple of times on this program, Certified Kingdom Advisor. There are CKAs in the estate planning area, but there's far fewer of them. The majority of them are in the financial planning and the investment area. So what I would do is still contact a CKA there in Texas, but I'd ask for a referral to a godly estate planning attorney. They will all have one that they work with, because this is a critical part of financial planning. So just go to our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com, click find a CKA, do a zip code search, contact any one of those CKAs that come up in your area, and just say, I need a referral. I listen to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I need an estate planning attorney who shares my values. Rob told me you can direct me to who I need to talk to, and I think that will get you where you need to go.
Is that okay, helpful? Thank you so much. Sorry, this right. Car alarm went off next
week. Oh, no problem, Gloria. Hey, listen, Lord bless you, and we appreciate you being on the program today. Thanks for calling. 800-525-7000. I may be able to sneak in one more call. You know, one of the things we've been talking about today is this idea of wealth transfer, and that's obviously what Gloria was talking about as well. And I talked about the treatment decision in the I talked about the transfer decision a moment ago that Ron Blue talks about in his book, Splitting Heirs. Who is the next steward and are they prepared? And we talked about the treasure principle and the unity principle and that wisdom principle that if you're going to pass wealth, you need to pass wisdom first. Well, the next decision is the treatment decision, meaning how am I going to treat each of these potential recipients or stewards of what God has entrusted to me. And one of the principles that Ron talks about that usually maybe ruffles some feathers, I mean, that may be a little harsh, but you'll understand when I say it, because it flies in the face of kind of how we're conditioned as Americans in particular. And that is, here's the uniqueness principle. If you love your children, you will treat, if you love your children equally, you will treat them uniquely. And a lot of people say, wait a minute, I couldn't give more to one than the other. But the principle, he says, actually adds value to your children, because you can decide to treat them equally, of course. But in the end, the process of arriving in that decision is very important, because we need to consider that they're in different stages of life. You know, it's very common for children raised in the same home to grow up to be very different. So when it comes to wealth, it makes really good sense to think that different children will make different decisions and handle money differently. And often they'll have different needs. One might be a single parent really struggling. The other might be really well off. So I think it's important to, you know, really prayerfully consider, how are we going to leave this money? And Ron says you want to never use money to get between a husband and wife. You know, one is your child, one is your child-in-law. And so you don't want to come between them. So think about how the money could do that. You don't want to get between a parent and a child. And you don't want to commit heirs to a lifestyle or change their lifestyle necessarily through this gift of an inheritance. So something to really consider prayerfully. And again, this book, Splitting Heirs, could be a great resource to do it. Hey, folks, if you'd like to support our work here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, we'd be grateful. This is a listener-supported ministry, and you can give any amount, and we mean that, when you head to faithfi.com, just click give. Thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood. For those three men, I'm Rob West, and thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.